Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design conference call for the 19th of September, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting for the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the Day of Atonement, Zionist censorship, Q, the ARC Project, and then an open mic session. Before we get into the meat of the matter with this call, we do dedicate it to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambith. We do accept calls, but we do ask that you wait for just a bit before you start indicating you'd like to talk. And when we do take a call, please be polite and keep it short and to the point so that others can participate. Generally, we only take one call at a time. If we have a guest, of course, the guest will stay logged in during that time. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and there we keep information as far as the schedule for the programs, upcoming events. There's a daily news page. I don't like to flood people's in-baskets on their email too much, so check the Daily Mail page from time to time, and I post most of the information up there. A lot of information on health, doctrinal issues, learning the identity message, and past programs, as well as a few other things. We want to say a shout out there to Jimmy in Tampa with bankversusutv.com and his audience who are joining us tonight, and say hallelujah. And again, it has just become sundown here in South Florida, so the Day of Atonement ended. We started yesterday at sundown. It was an agreement that between us men, particularly, that we would appeal to our Heavenly Father on that Day of Atonement. And again, it depends on what calendar you're using. We're not saying that today being the 10th day of the 7th month of the Hebrew calendar. It depends on which calendar you're using. There is no 100% agreement on the accuracy of any particular calendar. We're doing the best we can. Our Father honors our attempts if it's with the right motives and for the right reasons, okay? He doesn't care about the accuracy, because if that mattered, we'd all be dead, all right? Because none of us get it right. We don't know how to properly perform the feasts as they did in the ancient times. We don't know, we don't even know how to speak the language they used then, okay? So, you know, this ongoing battle between our people over which day is what and the calendar, what day is the Sabbath and all that, you're missing the principles. What was the principles of the Sabbath was that every 7 days you need to take a break from what you're doing for a living. That was basically the principle. The tithe was to share your bounty that Yahweh gives you in Yahweh's work, not necessarily to give it to any particular person, but to put it towards the work of truth and building up this world, etc., and restoring things. So, you know, we get caught up in the minutiae of a topic and completely forget the principle. The Bible says that we strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. That's the idiomatic expression in Aramaic for it. So we're straining to find the least little gnat to make sure it doesn't get into whatever we're doing, whether it's making a meal or doing a painting or whatever. We'll strain to get a gnat and then turn around and swallow a whole camel. You get too focused on the minutia, and then you forget the big picture. So again, as far as the day, because some people said, you know, it's not the right calendar. Well, again, what is the right calendar? I've asked the Father for many, many years to make it apparent to me, and he hasn't done it yet. So if it was that important, I'm sure he would have. I was sent some Bible verses by one of our listeners that had come to them in prayer, and I thought they were pretty appropriate for today. Actually, two people sent me information as far as verses that were given to them. This is a set of five short sections here, but Ezekiel chapter 2, 6 through 8. The children are impudent and stiff-hearted. I am sending you to them, and you shall tell them, thus says Yahweh El Shaddai. They, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. You, son of man, do not be afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you do dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Speaking of us, of course. Then we go to Exodus 33, verse 13. Now, therefore, I have found favor in your sight. Please show me now your way, that I may know you, so that I may find favor in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Nation here, of course, is a the same as the Greek ethnos. It's a race of people. Nation and race are almost synonymous. Psalm 25:12, what man is he who fears Yahweh? He will instruct him in the way that he shall choose. Fear or reverence of Yahweh, and he will instruct you. And that's exactly the way it works. You got to have the fear and reverence first, folks. Sometimes you want to put the cart before the horse. It doesn't work that way. Fear and reverence, or as the proverb says, the fear of Yahweh or the reverence of Yahweh is what? The beginning of wisdom. How many people are wise today? These people proclaiming to be wise are as fools. Isaiah 46, verses 3 and 4. Listen to me, house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel that have been carried away from their birth, that have been carried away from the womb, even to old age, I am he, and even to gray hairs, I will carry you. I have made and I will bear. Yes, I will carry and I will deliver. Praise Yahweh. And then lastly here, Psalm 56:13, for you have deceived my soul from death, or excuse me, deceived, for you have delivered my soul from death and prevented my feet from falling, that I may walk before Yahweh God in the light of the living. So some verses of warning about our people, and certainly that would apply today, as our people are hell-bent on doing virtually anything they can to disobey our Father. I mean, they just go out of their way to, I guess, try to prove a point, prove that they don't need Yahweh in their life. What a sad statement for our people. Now, another brother who is celebrating the Day of Atonement today was led to Isaiah chapter 58, and its subtitle here is True and False Fasting. Make a loud cry, do not be quiet, let your voice be sounding like a horn, and make clear to my people their evil doings, and to the family of Jacob their sins. And what is sin? Sin is violation of God's law. Of course, the church world, they tell you there is no such thing as the law, right? It was all nailed to the cross. Nothing could be further from the truth. Though they make prayer to me every day and take pleasure in the knowledge of my ways, like a nation which has done righteousness and has not given up the rules of their Elohim God, they make requests to me for the right orders. It is their delight to come near to Yahweh God. They say, why have we kept ourselves from food or fasting, and you do not see it? Why have we kept ourselves from pleasure, and you take no note of it? If, in the days when you keep from food or fast, you take the chance to do your business and get in your debts, if keeping from food makes you quickly angry, ready for fighting and giving blows with evil hands, your holy days are not such as to make your voice come to my ears on high. Just a fancy way of saying, if your motives are not in line with what you're doing, you're wasting your time going through the motions of fasting and prayer, etc. Verse 5. Have I given orders for such a day as this, a day for keeping yourselves from pleasure? Is it only a question of the bent head, of putting on hair cloth, and being seated in the dust? Is this what seems to you a holy or separated day, well-pleasing to Yahweh? Is not this the holy day for which I have given orders? To let loose those who have wrongly been made prisoners. In other words, you go through all these fancy shows of righteousness and obedience to Father, but you haven't done the works that He's commanded. In other words, you're wasting your time again. For instance, why is America being cursed? We've got all these so-called believers in churches and so-called Christians in these churches who love our Heavenly Father and yet have done zero since 1974 to stop the murdering of the babies. Zero. So like here he says in verse 6, I have given orders to let loose those who have wrongly been made prisoners. We got all kinds of people in the current court system that don't belong there. They haven't committed a literal crime. They haven't violated God's law. Smoking a marijuana cigarette isn't a violation of God's law. So we have all kinds of man-made rules and regulations. Of course, they don't apply to the Chosenites or to their friends. But we have many people in prisons being treated like animals that don't belong there. To undo the bands of the yoke. What yoke? All these hundreds of thousands of laws, regulations, statutes, you name it, those are all yokes around the ability of the white man to succeed and be happy and be fruitful. And to let the crushed go free. Look around you today. Most of our people are crushed in spirit, crushed financially, and every other way imaginable. And every yoke be broken. Is it not to give your bread to those in need? In other words, you get people that are starving. I know one veteran fighting cancer who has to live in a damn tent in America today with all of the money, so-called money. It's not real money, but the so-called credit card that just has no end in this country. And yet we can't afford that a veteran fighting cancer can live in a little bit something, a little bit nicer than a tent on the ground. And to let the poor who have no resting place come into your house, to put a robe on the unclothed when you see him, and not to keep your eyes shut for fear of seeing his flesh. Then will light be shining on you like the morning, and your wounds will quickly heal. And your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of Yahweh will come after you. Then at the sound of your voice, Yahweh will give an answer. At your cry, he will say, Here I am. If you take away from among you the yoke, the putting out of the finger of shame, and the evil word, and if you give your bread to those in need of it, so that the troubled one may have his desire, then you will have light in the dark, and your night will be as the full light of the sun. And Yahweh will be your guide at all times. In dry places he will give you water in full measure, meaning deserts, and will make strong your bones, and you will be like a watered garden and like an ever-flowing spring. And your sons will be building again the old wasted places. And you will make strong the bases of old generations, and you will be named he who puts up the broken walls, and he who makes ready the ways for use. If you keep the Sabbath with care, That's the day of rest. Not doing your business on my separate day or my holy day. That's what 1 day in 7 is, a day for a rest from your labors. And if the Sabbath seems to you a delight and the new moon of Yahweh a thing to be honored, and if you give respect to him by not doing your business or going after your pleasure or saying unholy words, then Yahweh will be your delight, and I will put you on the high places of the earth, and I will give you the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has said it. So here again, in this chapter of Isaiah, we're finding out that, again, Father looks upon the heart. It doesn't matter what you do. If you're doing it for show and you haven't changed your heart, it's meaningless. And it's a little bit like what's going on in America. On the outside, the whitewashed sepulcher that we've become, we promote all these beautiful sounding things that we care about the children and we care about the poor and we care about the homeless and we want everybody to have a nice home and everybody to be healthy and have access to health care and all this stuff. When in reality, that's all a show. It's hypocrisy because the Luciferians that operate within the deep state or the cabal are actually doing just the opposite. They are rounding your children up and getting them involved in prostitution and pornography and drug abuse. They are leading them away to places like Epstein's Lolita Island for use in sexual ceremonies, etc. And some of them are actually being murdered as part of these ceremonies. Your young babies are being sacrificed underneath the homes of some of the rich and famous and under some of the buildings such as in the Catholic Church. That's the reality that we have to live with. That's what that scripture is talking about. You pay lip service to the Father, but your heart is far from him. That's also in the Bible. And that's what the average person in this world today is. They give lip service. Oh, I believe in a God. I believe in an intelligent being. I don't believe we got here by accident. Okay, so where does that show up in how you live? It doesn't. It's lip service. They want to appear to be people that believe in a heavenly Father. They want to appear to be honest and have righteous character, when in fact they don't even have a clue what our Father is all about, what his law is all about, and how to implement his law amongst not only themselves and their own families, but how about the people that are less fortunate? You can tell the integrity of a nation by how we treat those who are less fortunate. And in America, what do? We let them live on the streets. We let our veterans live in cardboard boxes and tents, get poor service at the VA, while the rich and the famous and the oligarchs in Washington run around in, million-dollar yachts, living in multi-million-dollar homes, when they themselves are complete idiots and nothing more than thieves, doing the bidding of their Jewish masters to give, again, the appearance of legality, the appearance that it's for a good purpose, when in fact it's evil to the core. So on this Day of Atonement, it is a period of oneness with our Heavenly Father. I did send out an email to mostly the men explaining the definition of it a little bit. But it's a day set apart for us to come together with the Father. Cut out all of the entrapments of the world as best you can during that 24-hour period, abstaining from work, abstaining from pleasure, abstaining from food. And during that 24 hours, do a self-assessment, be in prayer, contemplate where you are, who you are, what's going on, etc. It's kind of a grounding, if you will. It's the feast that allows you to ground yourself to the one and only thing this world gives us, that's true and sure and can be counted on at all times, and that's our Heavenly Father. You can't count on institutions. What we're seeing, this absolute travesty that's being played out in Washington, D.C., proves to us that, right? How many of these organizations are being outed? They just arrested, I think it's in Pennsylvania, they just arrested a dozen people in a child trafficking ring. One of them was a nurse, one of them was a firefighter, and one of them was a police sergeant. And how many of these Catholic priests are being rounded up right now? Many of them. Why? Because the Catholic Church has always been corrupt. It's been corrupt for centuries, let alone currently. So here again, while we profess to be so high and mighty, we are missing the mark because we don't have the actions to show for it. We've read that scripture on this program many times. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. We've got millions of hearers, millions of pew setters. How many doers? What's the ratio of doers to pew setters? We probably have one doer for every 100,000, maybe even million of pew setters. So this is the warning to the pew setters that your days are numbered. This is the end of the age. If you can't see the signs of that on the wall, you're really blind as a bat. So if we're at the end of the age, what's that mean? That means it's time to put this show to bed. You don't have, you know, a lot of you think, well, I'm not going to die tomorrow, so I've got time to still play the game and go out there and horse around and do whatever I want. And then maybe I'll think about changing right before I'm ready to die. Of course, you don't know about the dump truck coming down the road tomorrow with your name on it, or an assassin, or anything. Anything could happen to take your life. The heart attack, I've lost many of my friends and relatives to aneurysms and heart attacks that never saw it coming. Never saw it coming at all. So that is a foolhardy plan. That's foolhardy of you if you think that's what you're going to do. Not only that, but you know, while you're waiting around, you're missing out on the blessings that are there for his people right here and right now. Not to mention the fact the whole world is in travail because that's what so many of our people are doing. All right? They're not getting involved. They're not fixing the problems. Look at what we've got now. We've got this stalemate in Washington, it seems, between white hats and black hats. So we're being played by both sides every single day. When the evidence is there, then why aren't these perpetrators dealt with? You know, what's the even the founding fathers now, imperfect as they were, had a lot of biblical sense and a lot of common sense. And it was they that said, and again, based on scripture, justice delayed is justice denied. You've got people, and I know friends of mine, years ago, that were accused of a crime. And one guy in particular, I met him at the American Legion, and he told me what happened out west. A girl accused him of raping her. All told, he spent 4 years of his life behind bars before that was overturned and it was shown that she was lying. Justice delayed is justice denied. He spent 2 years behind bars waiting for the trial. How can that be in a land that claims to love our Father and claims to be righteous? How can a person on an accusation spend 2 years of their life behind bars before their day in court? That is a travesty, folks. That is a black mark on every one of us that we allow a criminal justice system to get away with that kind of garbage. Justice delayed is justice denied. Besides that, we sentence people to terms behind bars when Scripture never gives us a right to do that. Early America did not do that. That didn't come in until, I believe it was the late 1800s, and we can guess what tribal imposters came in to convince us to do such a hideous, inhumane, and unbiblical thing as prisons. And gee, I wonder who it is that makes all the money from the prison labor today in the prison industries around this nation. Irv, Mo, Sheeny, Jews. Again, violating God's law, treating men and women like animals, when Father said restitution and execution are your only options for punishment, because that actually punishes the wrongdoers instead of you and me through taxation to pay for these people to sit in prisons. There is nothing of Yahweh in that, nothing whatsoever. Execution or restitution. And that restitution by the criminal goes to the victim, not the state. Do you notice everything goes to the state nowadays? All right? The state has become this elite force of people who believe that they're entitled to everything, and you and I just exist to serve them and pay for them. Oh, that's almost Judaic, isn't it? That's a Jewish mentality. Oh, yeah, that's right. Jews promote multiculturalism. They promote undoing of biblical law. Why is that? Because many Jews commit crimes that would put them in the grave when they're caught. So they don't want us to have capital punishment because a lot of them would be dead. So here again, no crime and no justice. Just a whitewashed sepulcher full of dead men's bones. We're hypocrites. We're hypocrites. It's a crying shame. Anyway, a lot of the Q posts are showing that a lot of things are going on. It's actually very difficult to figure out who's telling the truth and who is playing the psyop, deception game. I know Sun Tzu in The Art of War says all warfare is deception, but why are we applying rules of war in a nation that's supposed to be an open society, as John F. Kennedy often spoke about? It is an evil thing for secret societies and for government agencies to claim that what they do must remain secret because it's a national security issue. Really? I don't think so. You're my public servant. There's nothing that I shouldn't know about. This whole concept of national security and keeping things secret and intrigue and assassination and regime change all started back around the time of World War I. So you're talking about the early 1900s, approximately 100 years ago. And two of the culprits that were behind it were Allen Dulles and John Foster Dulles, two kikes, both of them in government at the time. And Allen Dulles was instrumental in the formation of the OSS and then later became the CIA. And why? Go read the book, The Brothers, John Foster and Allen Dulles and Their Secret World War. It's still available through Amazon and other book outlets. But read in that book about the Dulles brothers and their cohorts in Washington and what they were doing for the past 100 years. None of it was for our good. It was all for them, the benefit of their rich Jewish banking houses that they worked for, and for the large corporations that they owned. Regime change in many of the South American and Central American countries the regime change was more about economics and their portfolio in those countries than it was about the people. They didn't care about the people. In fact, the leaders that were assassinated or replaced were often much better for the country and its people, but they stood against the Jews and their corporations. So here again, money is the root of all evil. Q makes references to the fact that we should be waking up as the rest of the world is waking up. And one of the interesting things I'm finding is they're waking up very, very quickly to the Jews and their lies. For instance, this Russian reconnaissance plane that was shot down, the press, owned by the Jews, of course, is trying to say the Syrians shot it down, when that makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. However, as any good investigator will tell you, on any kind of a crime that's committed, the very first thing you look for is cui bono, who benefits? Who benefits from a Russian plane being shot down and blaming it on Syria? The Israelis. Yeah. The biggest liars on earth. The same ones that lied about the USS Cole that was had the side of it blown out by some explosives on a boat. Mossad. Just like the USS Liberty, when it was strafed, bombed, and torpedoed, and over 100 men lost their lives, many of them were wounded, and that ship, it's only a miracle that ship made it back, because it was supposed to be sunk. The Israelis couldn't get it sunk. And treason within the White House were all behind it. But who got blamed for it? Egypt. So do you see the MO here? Do you see a pattern existing? Or as Q would say, do you believe in coincidences? No, there are no coincidences. These Mossad Jews do the same thing. Same MO. They don't change the story, just like the false flags going on across the country. It's the same MO. Even down to the point that the perpetrator somehow dies, either shoots himself or gets shot by the cops or whatever, but the perpetrator's never around for cross-examination or to stand trial or to be looked into. You're just supposed to go back to sleep. Oh, well, nothing to see here. But the American people have been sound asleep, and it's time to wake up and get involved. As Q says, you have the power, we the people, and where we go one, we go all. We have the power. It's not them. It's a mind game that they play on us. This whole orchestration through the mainstream media and these pundits in Washington. Look at these Democrats and some of the absolutely ridiculous things that they're saying now. They are outing themselves as terrors. They are literally the terrors with their noxious black hearts and lies, deception, and murder. They are the loudest of them is the most guilty. And that's where I believe Q to be accurate. People like Nancy Pelosi and Maxine Waters and Charles Schumer, Feinstein, most of all Jews. The Jews have the most to lose because they're the most guilty of the crimes that we're talking about. They've either perpetrated the crimes or covered them up or made money on them, and sometimes all three. So, I got some alerts coming up here. Sorry about that. So there's a battle going on right now between the forces of light and the forces of evil and darkness. You can see it. It's everywhere. Everything from talking about the 5G system to climate to weather modification to what they're putting in the air, what they're putting in our food. I mean, this is an all-out assault on humanity. That's why you know it's the end of the age. This is it. You got to get off the fence, folks. Yahweh said at the end of the age, there will be no middle ground. You're either a goat or a sheep. Now, take note that there's only two options given. A goat or one of the sheep. That's it. So you've got to make up your mind which side of the fence you're on, because let me tell you, when these diabolical creatures, should they ever gain full power, just go read what was done to the Russian people 100 years ago and probably multiply it by 5, and you'll see what's waiting for you and your family under these people. Wait till they reveal all of the hideous things done in darkness to those children by these creatures. Right? It's going to blow your mind. And a lot of people are trying to give us warning about that just because it is going to be so hideous. The money changeover is right around the corner. I know you've said to me many times, Dan, you've been talking about this for years. Yeah, because it's a fiat currency system. Ever since Tricky Dick took the last connection of our so-called money, it's not really money, it's a debt instrument called a dollar. But ever since he took it off the silver standard, our last connection to what the founding fathers and the Constitution, by the way, demanded and required. So our money has been fiat ever since, and it's only a matter of time before a fiat currency dies. And we know this one's getting ready to die, folks. The handwriting's on the wall, because the Eurasian markets have already shifted over to an entirely different Bank of International Settlements type payment system based on gold-backed currency. They are outside of the U.S. dollar already. Many of their holdings are being changed over. So there's still a semblance that the U.S. dollar has value, but it is quickly disappearing. We're in for a major reset, both geopolitically, spiritually, and financially. So welcome to the end of the age. Which team are you on? That's the question. Which team are you on? We were told also that the emergency alarm or alert system that was scheduled to be done tomorrow has been postponed till October the 3rd. Not sure why. Some people said it's because of the storm, but that storm was not that devastating. And by the way, I've gotten a lot of mail from people concerned about the North Carolina nuclear power plant having a unusual event declared. Unusual event is one of four classifications of on-site emergencies. And the unusual event is the lowest level. It even stated it in the article that was sent to me, but the people reading it didn't pick up on it. It was an unusual event because the workers could not get through the streets to get to the plant because of the flooding. That's no different than in the 1970s when I worked at a plant in Ohio. We had a blizzard that shut down everything for, I forget how far, but it was a large, large area, was buried in snow. In fact, right outside the power plant along US 2, Route 2, going through northern Ohio, there was an 18-wheeler truck buried in the snow. We didn't even know it was there until the snow started melting. The driver spent 3 days trapped inside of his cab. He ate candy bars and opened up a window slightly so he could dig snow out and melt it and drink it to keep alive. But that's how bad the snow was. An 18-wheeler tractor trailer was buried in the snow drifts right outside where the plant was, and nobody even knew it. So the whole point of it is that power plant was fine. We have people on staff, and nowadays they have even more preparations made for that kind of thing today than we had back in the 1970s, and yet the plant was fine. The workers that were there stayed there. The maintenance people on staff stayed there round the clock until relief people could show up, which was about 3 to 4 days later. Even after that event, they went out and bought a what do they call it, a some kind of dozer that looks a lot like on Lost in Space. Remember that that little craft that they used to go with the big treads, looked like a tank, but had real wide tread on it. That little moon type vehicle. They went out and bought one of them just so they could scoot across on the top of the snow to get supplies and people in and out of the plant should a blizzard happen again like that. Of course, Murphy's Law, they went and bought it, and ever since that they bought that, they haven't had a blizzard since. So that's all you gotta do. Just buy the right preventative stuff, and then you don't have a problem, right? But anyway, we used to like going out there and doing maintenance on the little Snowcat. Thank you, Jimmy. Snowcat. That's exactly right. We used to do maintenance on it and everything else to keep it ready should it ever be needed. So a lot of things going on. There's a lot of information floating around out there. Some of it's good, some of it's bad. But now is the time for proper discernment and and definitely stay tight with the Father and keep your prayer life going. I'm going to tell you, it's crazy. It literally is crazy. Some of the things people are saying today, I listen to the reports or read the articles, and it's mind-numbing some of the things, again, that these people are doing and saying. It just blows my mind. Blows my mind. So anyway, that was the gist of pretty much everything I wanted to talk about. The censorship, of course, is all Zionist. Facebook, Twitter, all these different platforms are all run by Jews, all with federal money in their pockets, and that's who's behind it. And not much new on the ARC project at this time, so we're going to go ahead and go to our open mic section here, and we got Magnum 44 with us. How you doing, sir?
Pastor Dan, how you doing? Magnum 44. Just wanted to see if I could kind of give a perspective of the MGTOW front that I've been watching, if that's appropriate.
Sure.
The what I've been watching is the hundreds of MGTOW channels, MGTOW, men going their own way. Channels that are popping up across YouTube and various platforms. Additionally, even on Reddit. These are channels that are popping up from Scotland to New Zealand, Canada, United States, hundreds of them. You know, you were just kind of saying a moment ago that we have the power. We as the people have the power. Well, same thing as we dive down a little more of a microscopic unit. We as men have the power. We need to take that back because we've given that away. We've absolutely given it away. And as I look at the atrocities that are going on in just the micro family unit, story after story after story of men being destroyed by getting with women that are entitled, getting with women that are absolutely have the backing of law behind them, and their hypergamous nature, where they're going to continually monkey branch up until, you know, they destroy a man's life and they move on to the next guy. And you know, it's a little bit personal, as you well know, in my own life. I'm watching this play out, and so I'm kind of taking this kind of personal. But in the same token, I'm finding myself back again. I'm finding out that I am the prize. We men are the prize. And when I'm on Reddit or I'm on these MGTOW channels and this and that, when I put a post and I let men know that they are the prize, you don't kneel to propose to a woman. That's submission to a woman, and so forth. The amount of response that I get are overwhelming. So I do see that we are steadily growing on the MGTOW front. There will come a day fairly soon where we will hit a critical mass and we will finally stand in front of women and say, you're not getting our resources. You're not going to get our provisions. You're not going to get our love and so forth. You know, and I think we need to go back to the Father's way, and it's very clearly spelled out in the Bible on the roles of men and the roles of women. And I think we're getting there, and I'll tell you, I thank God for MGTOW channels and that concept, because a lot of men are jumping on board.
Well, I would agree with your assessment based on the calls and things that I get. I would make one slight change or revision to what you said. The men that are the prize are righteous men.
There's
a lot of males. I call them males. They have the equipment of a man, but they're not men. So there's a lot of males out there that we're not talking about those. We're talking about real men who are fit, strong, smart, hardworking, believe in the old ways, believe in family, believe in protection, loyal to a fault sometimes, and spiritual. So when we speak about real men being, men being the prize, we're speaking of that category of men, not just males in general, because to be honest with you, there's a lot of them, Magnum 44, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for. So the ladies out there that heard what you had to say, I can hear and see some of the feedback I'll get on that already, is that there's a lot of men out there that aren't worthy of their support or their loyalty or whatever. And they're right. There are a lot of men, but we're not talking about those. So I just want to make that real clear.
In the same breath, there are some fantastic women out there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Unfortunately, the majority of the women have grown up in this entitled mentality. All I got to do is marry a guy, have a couple of his kids, spend 5-10 years with them, and now I've got his paycheck, half his retirement, and I'm moving on. It's called hypergamy, okay? And it's inbred. They want the best and the brightest and so forth, and it's destroying people's lives. So this whole philosophy of MGTOW, men are finding themselves again. Those that subscribe to it, we do not hate women. We do not hate women. I absolutely love women. Okay, but I love a woman to be a woman. I want a feminine woman. I want a woman that follows biblical principles. I need to follow biblical principles, and that's the way it works. And the marriages that are lasting, that are happy, are following those exact principles. And you can look at the rest of the 70% of the marriages out there that are destructive and destroying and divorced and so forth. They're not. So the proof is in the pudding. You've been preaching it for, 30 years now? I don't know what it takes for people to wake up, but you've been saying it for decades.
Thank you. Yeah, it's the old story about whether you're going to obey our Heavenly Father and His law, or you're going to follow man's law. William Blackstone was considered one of the greatest jurists of all time from England, and he was taught in the American law schools up until recently. And it was he who said that any law created by any body of men that runs counter to God's law is no law at all. So, for most of our history, we understood that man's law has to be in obedience and follow the dictates of God's law. So man could make rules and statutes, etc., to facilitate the implementation of God's law, but God's law was the law. Man was never given a right to change God's law. For instance, in the case of a baby, just because you call it a fetus instead of a baby doesn't change the fact that it's a baby. It's a life. And we are souls within that life from the moment of conception. So this whole argument that it's just a blob of flesh is a moot point. It's ridiculous. It just shows the mental limitations of whoever would say something that stupid. We've known for thousands of years it's a baby, all right? Just because the Jews come into our society and get you to buy the lie that it's not, because in their Talmud it's just a lump of flesh, because they're Satanists. That's why they can kill our babies and eat them and rape them and murder them, because it's okay in their book. Just like on the Day of Atonement, just now, the Jews all went to the synagogue last night or tonight and prayed the Kol Nidre prayer, which in their book allows them to lie under oath. Lie under oath. So their book is full of perversions, and the more we allow the Jews to influence, the more satanic our society becomes, their magnum. And this whole marriage scenario proves that man cannot make law. Man-made law has created this complete mess, upside-down mess that we have today. So, you know, I think you would agree. We have to get our whole society back on operating under the biblical principles. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. You know, and, you know, sitting here is a man separated from his wife, and rightfully so. I would rather be a single man today without the company of a female following God's laws rather than be in a let's put this, a godless marriage where none of the principles are followed, or because you can't have one person following God's laws and the other person not. So that's one of the premises of men going their own way. We're just tired of it. We're going to follow our own path, and some of us will follow God's laws, some may not. But this guy here is extremely happy just being by himself and following God's laws. And if it's Yahweh's plan, he'll deliver me a woman that is of that substance, that's feminine in nature, loving, caring, and following God's law.
Well, amen to that. Here's the thing I've always said is, if we build it, they will come. And I use that with the ARC community, but I also use it with when I talk to the young men. If you'll become a man of Yahweh, if you will do all that you can to be strong, to be healthy, to be intelligent, to work hard, to believe in the biblical principles, if you will hold yourself up to those standards, that you will attract the right woman, okay? But you've got to do that first. And then you have to use good discernment and the old biblical ways of helping you pick a mate, which is called, I'm having a mental blank here. Not chaperoning, but courting. That's it, courting. You have to court the person, and the whole idea behind courting was that you would learn what the person's really like after you scrape away that pretty veneer with all the perfume and all the makeup and all the pretense. When you scrape all that away, as far as women, it also applies to men, so that the ladies can find out what kind of guy you are. You have to court so they can see, you know, the things about you other than the physical. Because today, what is it today that people judge their mates with? Mostly just the physical. You know, they go out, have a few drinks, they got alcohol, they're plied with alcohol. They end up in the sack, and next thing you know, they're down getting married thinking it's okay. Just like these racially mixed couples. I mean, it's like, are you kidding me? You can't tell with your own senses that that's a mismatch, that there's something wrong there? As my buddy from Tennessee used to tell me, he goes, every molecule in my body screams when I see a white woman with a non-white man. It screams. I don't even need a Bible to know that that's just an abomination. So, you know, I don't know when we're going to ever wake up. I wish it would be sooner rather than later. Father's not going to give us much more time. We've almost destroyed the earth that he put us on. There's pollution everywhere, disease everywhere. I'm reading about more and more people. The lady I interviewed a couple months ago with the... she's got a YouTube channel called WGON, something. What's Going On Now? That's it. What's Going On Now? WGON. She has to go in for oral surgery tomorrow, so she won't be on till November. And in her presentation, she was talking about the fact that her doctor put her on steroids for asthma, and all of her teeth fell out within the last year. And she has a picture of herself up there from about a year ago. She had a beautiful smile. She had beautiful, big, bright teeth. And within a year, the steroids have caused all of her adult teeth to fall out. And the doctor says, I don't know how you're walking your bones have become so thin and brittle. He goes, I don't even know how you're getting around. So my point here is the pharmaceuticals and drugs that they are putting our people on. Now, I know asthma's bad, but is it worth losing your bone structure and your teeth? Aren't there natural things you could do? I got to believe there's natural things you could try. Why would you put a substance in your body that literally is destroying your bone, the makeup of your bones, your teeth and the bones in your legs and everywhere else, that's destroying that? Why would you do that? I can't even put my head around that, Magnum. Why are people do what they do?
Ignorance. That's the only thing I think of is ignorance. Got a 28-year-old kid out at work. I'm going to mess this up. There's a new Keotin diet. Help me out here, Dan, or Pastor Dan.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, where you fast a good portion of the day and you have one meal. 28 years old. He's trying to lose some, as he calls it, stubborn belly fat. Okay, he's skinny, 28 years old. This past weekend, goes out there and he's following this new diet, okay? And he starts working out. His muscles start excreting poisons. It shut down his kidneys. He said his urine was the color of sweet tea. Shut it down. He spent the whole weekend in the hospital. They said he came hours of losing his life because he's been fasting and then trying to work out hard and so forth. So it's just all this ignorance that's out there. And, you know, you kind of just stated a good point. Why do people wait? I mean, I implore the men that are out there and even the women out there, absolutely, don't wait until something bad happens and then you turn to Yahweh. Don't wait until you get notified you have cancer or your spouse is cheating on you or whatever. Get out there ahead of this. I always say the same wind blows on us all. Get out ahead of whatever's coming. Get to know the Word. Get to understand and build a relationship with Yahweh, and start living His life. Because when that happens and when that wind blows on you, you don't want to be behind the power curve on that at that point. You want to be out ahead of it and so forth. And maybe you can stave off, you know, what is coming. You know, maybe you do have a good wife that's a believer and so forth, and you guys can pull together and live the Word of Yahweh and have a fantastic marriage. But living this crap that's being fed to us on a daily basis from every single social media outlet and media outlet, it just leads to disaster. I mean, the majority of us are just heading for a brick wall, and if we don't turn from it, we're going to smash into it.
Yeah, we're on a high-speed train heading for a meeting with a mountain here real soon. And you're right. I don't understand why people wait. I don't understand a lot of things they do. The tattoo thing today is just beyond me. I mean,
oh man,
beautiful, sometimes beautiful women with these big, hideous tattoos. I just don't get it. The whole piercing thing and tattoo thing, I've never understood it. But then again, from the age of 12 on, father's been dealing with me. And I was told your body is a holy temple and to keep it holy. So you don't pollute the temple. It's the home or the resting place of the Holy Spirit within you, and you don't pollute the temple. So that kept me from a lot of things. Never got into drinking much, never smoked, didn't get into any of the tattoos or the piercing garbage that was going on. So it's just, I don't know. I really don't know what's up with these people when they do these things. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. Now, I did want everybody to know. Go ahead, bud.
No, I was just going to say it's rampant. Where I'm at, it's rampant. I would say a good 50% of the females are tatted up. And I'll tell you, me and my guy friends, it's a major turnoff. I don't know why they do it. if they're trying to be the bad girl because they want to go after the bad boy, but that always ends up in a train wreck, and then they're stuck with their tattoo. And I'll tell you, it's a major turnoff to the majority of the guys.
Right. I wanted to also say, when you were talking about the problems men are having, I just got a call from one of my longtime friends back in Pennsylvania. He's going through a hellacious divorce with a woman, and he was completely set up for failure. And this woman is even going after assets that he owned before they ever met, which in Pennsylvania, by the law, she's not entitled to any portion of that because he owned that like a 401k and some precious metals and land. He owned those before she ever even came into the picture, and yet she feels that she's entitled to those. It's just, I listened to his story, and I'm thinking, my God, what is going on here? And I realized that a lot of the problem with all relationships, and it's not just the ladies that are guilty of this, but is drugs. Virtually every one of these scenarios, maybe not all of them 100%, but an awful lot of them, deal with drugs. And I'm not talking about illegal drugs. I'm talking a lot of cases it's over-the-counter drugs. And how many people were on drugs that were meant for a very short period of time? In my buddy in Pennsylvania's case, she was on a mood-altering drug. I won't say which one it was, but she was on a mood-altering drug for over 12 years. And the warning on the label even says this is not for chronic or long-term use. It just boggles my mind. It goes back to Scripture all the time. When you read about the whore of Babylon and drunk on her delicacies, but also the fact that pharmacy or pharmakia has to do with drugs in black magic. And you go into that pharmacy, and what's that above the door? And big red, who's the Reds? Oh, that's right, the Jews. The Reds lettering, pharmacy, warning you that it's drugs used in sorcery and black magic. But, you know, they feel that that gives them an out, that they don't have to feel guilty for selling it to you because they put the warning sign up there. And you can just see the Jew in the courtroom going, hey, I told him what I was doing. It's not my fault he never looked at his Bible, never studied the Greek that the Bible's written in. That's not my fault. His ancestors could read Greek.
And Pastor Dan, you've got the serpent on every medical symbol out there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The whole medical industry.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then you look at every school shooter, all the kids that – the legitimate school shooters, let's put it that way. Let's put it that way. They were all on mind altering drugs. It's just, it's rampant. So there's another one. Okay. When we look at our partners in life, you know, are they on these mind altering drugs? You know, cause I sit there and I don't want to be too negative on this, but why do women get married? For provisions and protection. Why do men get married? For love. Okay, there's two diametrically opposed situations going on here. That, now you throw in mind-altering drugs, anxiety medicines, and so forth. It's a cocktail that I truly believe the pharmacies or pharmakia, all that black magic, they know what's going to happen. It's inevitable when you mix that cocktail up.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then you throw in all the mind-numbing propaganda through the media, through the motion pictures, celebrities, all of it's anti-Christ, all of it's anti-Yahweh and his law. And so you got that all on top of that. And they think that, you know, we're crazy because we talk about the Bible and scriptural things and all that. So the world is being split right down the middle. I wanted to give a little report. I had two of my listeners from the state of Texas let me know today that food in their areas is disappearing from the shelves. I don't know if this is a pandemic or if it extends outside of Texas, but this is Central Texas and West Texas that, as far as I know, they're not under any kind of an emergency or any reason why the local supermarkets and Walmarts and things like that are running out of food. So I'm only putting that out there as a heads up to other of our brothers and sisters who may have some insight as to what the heck's going on, because that is kind of weird. So we know a lot of stuff is in movement right now by the dark side and the children of light. So we try to work together and just keep each other informed. And if you do know anything about that or why that might be happening, on the good side or the bad side, pass it around, send it to me, I'll send it out, whatever. But just keep your eyes and ears open as to what might be behind this strange phenomenon that seems to be going on in the great state of Texas. I often wonder if it's not the New World Order trying to set the Texans up for some kind of an assault, because we know the people of Texas understand that they live in a true republic and they have every right, and that's why they're called the Lone Star State. They have every right to secede from the Union. There is no legality whatsoever, even purported, to stop Texas from seceding. So we'll see. Just keep our eyes and ears open. But you're right about this problem we're having in the marital situation and the rape of our men, and it's led to the MGTOW movement. And you're right, we talked about this for at least 30 years. I remember warning when the feminist movement was picking up steam and women were cheering and cheering the fact that men were losing their positions in this country. And it's come to the point where it is now. And back then we said, this is not going to end well, ladies. It's not going to end well. When push comes to shove and this thing comes down to warfare, and believe me, warfare is certainly a distinct possibility. If it comes down to that, you are going to wish that the men were back on the scene, because no matter what the propaganda tells you, the best soldiers are our men. It's not you, ladies. I'm sorry. Some of you know something about weaponry. A few of you know how to handle a weapon, etc. But that's a far cry from battlefield conditions with blood and guts and taking the life of other people up close and personal in general warfare. That is completely, completely different. Magnum, let's bring Jimmy on to see if he's got anything he wants to add to what we're saying. Jimmy, welcome to the program, buddy.
Hey, good evening, Commander Dan and Magnum and our ladies and gentlemen listeners. Boy, you know, I keep notes during your opening comments, and I'll touch on a few. Let me backtrack here. As far as Texas and the grocery situation, I have a lot of friends in Texas, and I've heard the same. Our theory is that the North Carolina issue, and there have been others that have done video to that end, have kind of solidified the warning or the National Preparedness Month. And some of the theories is that the White Hats were really kind of responsible for creating the hurricane to get people to flood the stores, Home Depot, and such. They're reporting that they can't get generators, this, that, and the other. So, you know, you have to wonder if it's Yahweh's way of getting people to finally heed our warnings. But you also have to wonder why the shelves are barren. Now, back to the main thing. As you all know, I had the best woman on the planet, and I'm not gay. But my coworkers are constantly, especially one of our paralegals and our real estate, main real estate agent, Jim, you know, my friend XYZ, she's a good gal and she's single, doesn't have any kids, and she's got a boat. And I'll say, well, send a picture of the boat and the motor, ha-ha. But I'm not interested in the fix-up, and I'm with what all of us say. I do get lonely, and I miss having a companion, don't get me wrong. But when I decline, and then to come back around and have people think after Kim's been gone now almost 4 years that I'm gay, I mean, where do these people come up with that? And I'm not suggesting my coworkers say that, but it's almost like the denial. And even if, you know, I used to be a man about town, Dan, back in my day, and I don't mean a bar sled, but I mean I was out and about and, you know, wasn't married, and, you know, I was out having a good time. Now, it doesn't mean I brought somebody home all the time, because I was always conscious of the gift that keeps on giving called, you know, STDs and things like that. But Dan and Mega and others, it is absolutely crazy out there. And I'm not a millionaire, but as soon as a woman sees a man that's well-dressed, has a nice car, and is able to buy a, you know, $200 dinner, this, that, and the other, my term is gold digger. And in today's world, and it's a shame, but that's one of my concerns. I'm not going to use the word fear, but that's one of my concerns is I might meet the prettiest girl, and she seems great, and all this, that, and the other, but once you get them home and move them in the nest, and it's just like your friend up there in Pennsylvania. And, you know, we deal with family law as well as mostly real estate law, and premarital assets are not on the table, period, in most states. So I'm going to go back and default to what we've all kind of said. I miss having a companion, I really do, because I think God meant us to have a better half as men. And Thanksgiving and Christmas and, you know, certain days are lonely, but I can tough through those because it is dangerous out there, guys. And as far as tattoos, I put in your chat room there, Dan, I'm not interested in messing with a cartoon. And I see it here in Tampa. I mean, these women have tattoos from neck down, and they're in shorts or a short skirt or whatever, their arms up their neck, even, you know, on their face, and then all the body piercing. I have to go with our caller there. I don't care if they're the prettiest girl on the planet. They have just defaced anything that I could ever be attracted to. And I don't know if I covered everything on the opening, but also I'm updating the BIOS and all my radios, and I've got the new ham radio program software was much on the plate today, and we'll join up on that tomorrow, Dan. But folks, before my closing remarks, the signs are in the heavens, and they're on the wall. Get out and get what you can. Get water. Get beans, get rice. You know, the Texas observation is very true, and I see it here in Tampa, even though I don't get out. The shelves are bare or more bare than, you know, I went out, Monday, and I went to the bread aisle, and I was looking for my favorite Italian bread. Out, gone. And the only other Italian bread was this fake, you know, it was Italian bread because it had a red and green wrapper on it, but it was nothing more than white bread in a pretty wrapper. I also noticed that whole grain hot dog buns and all the healthy breads were out, gone, not available. And I'll be damned if I'm going to buy a loaf of Wonder Bread, because you might as well just eat dirt. But, you know, heed the warning, folks. And real quick, too, on this, you know, I follow the FEMA thing because that's also kind of in my wheelhouse on the wireless side. And they disclosed weeks ago that if, here's the quote, I'm looking at it now, if the test is delayed, it will be on October 3rd. And I'm thinking, okay, all right, A, why would it be delayed? And B, how did you arrive at October 3rd? And I have a gut feeling that it had to do with Kavanaugh was supposed to be confirmed tomorrow. And right. I just wonder if there is not some correlation there. And, of course, you know, now the Kavanaugh accuser is saying that she won't testify on Monday until the FBI investigates. as per her attorney. Well, guess what, Mr. Attorney? You first of all, you cannot direct Congress or the House or the special committee. Secondly, what's the FBI going to investigate? And before I yield, how many times have you guys heard me on my show? And I believe, Dan, I've said it on your show before any of this came out, because people are encouraging me to run for office. And I kid them. I say, well, they're going to figure out that in the first grade, I dipped Sally's hair in the ink, you know, in the inkwell. And then when I was 17, I took her to the drive-in, and we watched a movie in the back of my Vega. They'll come out with that. Well, what's going on with Kavanaugh, and what was the last time that they pulled this very, very thing? It was Justice, oh, my God, his name, for our black justice.
Clarence?
Yeah, Clarence. No, with Anita Hill. Clarence Thomas.
Clarence Thomas.
It was the same thing. And you know what their end run game is they want to delay until after the midterms, because these morons, a.k.a. Democrats, think that they're going to seat a voting body that will skew this whole thing. And with that, why is it that we're allowing our employees to play high school games, parochial high school games? And with that, Dan, thanks for the time. And, Mega, I listened with your with intent to your comments, and I fully agree with you, sir. And, Dan, I'll put myself on mute, and if you want me to chime in later, I will be right here.
All right, buddy. Well, one thing that he mentioned there brought to mind an article that was sent to me about these shutting down of these observatories. Again, the nefarious FBI's involved, and the local sheriff out there, I think it's in New Mexico, where the first one was shut down, made a public statement that he was very upset by the way the feds handled it, that he is there to protect the people from errant or over-aggressive federal or state agencies. So this particular sheriff stated it correctly. His job and his allegiance is to the people of the county, not to the state.
Hey, Dan,
and not to the
feds. Dan, may I quote him so you don't have to say that you said it?
Okay.
But I think I sent you a backup text, and this came from my retired Secret Service guy. The sheriff, quote, from his mouth, said that the chicken shit FBI best evacuate my jurisdiction. And, you know, he is some pissed off. And, ladies and gentlemen, that is our sheriff. That's the kind of sheriff we need, and running it. And I don't know if you all know this, but I know this for sure, and I verified it again today. The sheriff can basically tell the FBI to pound sand and get the hell out of his jurisdiction.
Yeah, yeah. If the sheriff knows his true power, yes, that's right. He can do that. A lot of them won't do that because they're in bed with them and they're getting federal grants, and they blackmail them with federal leftover helicopters and MRAPs and all these kinds of goofy things to militarize them, and so they don't want to do anything to piss them off. But in reality, that's right. A real sheriff has that kind of authority, and a real sheriff would never set up his organization to be blackmailed or bribed in such a way as to do that.
Well, and I think, I don't know that he knew that, Dan, but I know he does now, and it'll be interesting. But that whole scenario, none of us really have an answer. I guess there was a hiker found somewhat down in the White Sands hiking facility. There was another gentleman that breached the caution tape with his son and went in, and, you know, they found a X-Files video movie strategically poised in the trash can by the window. You know, that doesn't sit well with me. And then the gentleman, as he was leaving, there were others that gathered, and you know, they were saying that they knew certain folks that had residents in that area, and the blinds were strategically closed so you couldn't see in. You know, most Venetian blinds by design, when they're closed properly, you can see in unless you invert them 180 degrees, and then they do close, pretty tight. But the whole thing stinks to high heaven, and I haven't, unless anyone else can call in and share any light on that, I am at the point where I don't know how to weed through the ones that think they know. But the facts are we found one dead. We had other solar observatories purportedly closed down. And I think the biggest clue we have, too, is that the satellite that we have, I forget the acronym for it, that sends back real-time data that NASA had open cameras on, it, too, was shut down. So for them to say it was a felon in the area and they evacuated for the security of the community doesn't quite jive with some of the other activities to include that satellite and, of course, the seven CIA mainframes that shut down on the spy satellite. So there's something up, folks. We don't know what, but with all this unexplained activities, it should be enough to send a message to get a couple extra gallons of water every day you're out. Keep your cars full of gasoline. Fill up your lawnmower gas cans. Try to get a hold of a generator or get your supplies together and make friends with your neighbors, because what you have and what they have could keep you both alive. And with that, Dan, thanks for letting me kind of jump back in again.
All right, buddy. What do you think, Magnum?
Kind of one of the things he said when he started off was he talked about he lost what I can only assume was the love of his life,
mm-hmm.
and 4 years ago, and then people call him gay and this and that, and I sit there and the first word that comes to my mind is shaming language. Look at the shaming language. If you're not following the doctrine, if you're not out dating the tattooed women that are out to grab your resources and everything else and treat you like crap and everything else, you're going to be shamed. And I want to put this out there to all the men. I want you to be really sensitive to shaming language. If you don't do what a lot of the women want today, they're going to accuse you. They're going to tell you you're gay, you're not masculine, you're not a man. You're not a man if you're not buying me a car. You know, so look at that shaming language and just turn it right around. Recognize it and then turn it right around. But the guest brought up a tremendous amount of points. I've been watching a YouTube on the closing of the observatories. A good YouTube channel was Secure Team. They're talking about it left and right, and they've got some very good points. For the life of me, I can't really bring those points to this conversation, but I have been watching them, and very interesting stuff that's going on.
Yeah, well, that's the whole point. There's a lot of things going on, and it's hard to determine what is false information or even deception and what's reality. Again, I look at it all as smoke, and where you see smoke, you know there's a fire, even if you can't see it. And so there are very powerful people and organizations on the move. The chess pieces on the board are being shifted. And that's, to me, an indication. Again, we were told September is preparedness month. We've talked about it on this radio station many, many, many times that we should all be prepared, because that's what the Bible says a prudent man does. When a prudent man sees disaster coming, he makes preparation for it. I grew up in an area amongst the Amish, and it's a tradition there that they have a well-stocked pantry year-round. Every farmhouse had a stocked pantry, because you never knew when you would have a flood or a harsh winter or a thunderstorm or something that would...
Tornado.
Or a tornado. Anything. It could be man-made or by nature. It doesn't matter. Anything could happen to where you're going to have to stay hunkered down and survive. And so everybody kept extra ammunition, extra food provisions in the pantry. If they had a spring, most of them had a spring house, so water wasn't a big concern. but they had spring water piped into the house or in a well. But they had ways and things put back that they could stay put on the farm for as long as 6 months, maybe even in some cases to a year. So, you know, here again, you're being set up. If you're not making any kind of preparations at all, you're being set up for disaster, folks. Because we don't, there's nobody that I know of with a crystal ball that can 1,000% tell us who's who and who's doing the right thing. This could be all a gigantic psyop to fool all of us. Don't know, can't tell you that. However, if it is, then we, the men of our Heavenly Father, are going to be called to come forth as His army. The Scripture says that. Common sense says that. History says that. Our ancestors say that. Those are for sures. These people do not have enough power to overcome us if we decide to take them down. So the only...
I was going to say, there's a common theme here tonight. Get out ahead of the storm. You know, get that 72-hour bag for you and your family. It doesn't cost that much. There's many companies out there throwing, you know, 50% off deals. Get out ahead of the storm. Get right with Yahweh. Get right with, you know, who you are as a man, who you are as a woman, and this and get out ahead of it, because once it hits, once that storm hits, once whatever hits, I mean, you're going to wish to God that you had prepped ahead of time. And you don't have to be fanatical. You don't have to do anything, but get out ahead of it and just be prepared. You know, that's all it is. It's a very quick thing. Even today, I mean, I just recently purchased a 72-hour kit for my boy and I, and boom, okay, it's there. It's got everything in it that I need, everything. You know, can it be better?
If I may.
Yeah, absolutely. But
yes, well, and the investment too. See, people say the thing is the investment that you make in the event that it is a PSYOP and your readiness kit is not needed, which I highly doubt, but you can still eat on it, just like my canned goods and my pantry that I have set up.
Absolutely.
It's there if I need it, but if for some reason the sun comes out and the criminals go to jail and it really looks like we're in the clear, then you still can fortify yourself with those, and it doesn't hurt to have backup food anyway. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, sir, but... You know, it's not like making an investment in, you know, even, and I have to say, too, gold and silver are, too. Now, gold is expensive, but silver is very affordable right now. And what I find funny, if I may steal the mic for another 15 seconds, is gold is plentiful and down around about $1,000 an ounce, but silver is right around $11 to $13 an ounce, but... Mm. There is this new shortage. So the dealer I go through, because I'm looking at, you know, I bought my first silver at about $11, and my over the course of years, the most I paid for an ounce was $17 when it was spot. But the problem is you pay spot plus a dealer fee. And the dealer I go through was always 49 cents per ounce over spot. Well, now with this proposed, the mints have run out of silver due to the run on silver, which I think is total south end of the north end bull. Now their fees are $2 to $3 per ounce for their fee. So watch silver, guys and gals. Gold is a little bit too rich for most of our palates. Even though it is, but I think silver, and one of the reasons, real quick too, silver is not only real money, but silver is more needed for electronics and production items than gold. So, you know, people ask me, well, Jim, if I have all this store of silver, how am I going to use it to survive on? Just rest assured, that's coming, because when you buy a Silver Eagle, its face value at the store is still worth $1. It's a Silver Eagle dollar, but it's going to be the metals that are going to be traded as money. And if you were to trade to a dealer on your silver, you're going to pay spot on that time plus their little fee to buy it, which, you know, fairness is 49 cents per ounce. So if today's silver rate is $17 for that $1 round that's around, or actually a Silver Eagle, it's worth $17 less 49 cents, whereas face value is a dollar. And maybe, Dan, you and I can do a little education show on that in the coming weeks. But I also want to encourage folks to look into buying as much silver as you can. I know everyone's tight right now. I feel for you because, frankly, I am too. But it is time to prepare. Stop going to Starbucks and paying $8 for a shitty cup of coffee and take that $8 and put it with the other $8 and you know, buy Silver Eagles. 2018 Silver Eagles, you can buy one now for about $13 plus a couple bucks for about $15. And mark my words, if we're able to broadcast on Dan's show, which I think we're going to be doing it by ham radio here soon, that will be your best store of money. But don't do it before you store up your food. And thanks for letting me interrupt, guys.
All righty.
Thank you.
Yep, thanks. Real quick, Lane in Texas says that he went to the grocery store today in the Fort Worth area, and there was plenty of everything and not many people. So it looks like it might be just regional or it's just a coincidence. And then Bubby 1483 says silver bullets are precious too. Yeah, in fact, one of my favorite loads for a 45 long Colt is what they call silver tips, which is a hollow point, silver in color, and it's got a devastating knockdown power for home defense type ammunition. So silver, it's a good point. I remember buying my silver back when it was between $4 and $6 an ounce. That's how long ago I got it. Like so many of our men and their stories here, a female decided to liberate me and my silver, basically stole it. In fact, my friend in Pennsylvania, the woman, if you want to call her that, that he's dealing with, the creature that he's dealing with between his cash and his precious metals when he was not aware of it, stole $19,000 worth of cash and precious metals. And when she was confronted, her justification for this was, I can't trust you, so it's collateral. In other words, no. You and I are supposed to abide by the courts and the rules, etc., but she's able to literally steal his assets that he owned before they got together, by the way, simply because she felt that he might not be forced to pay what she thinks that he owes her. So, you know, it's a sign of the times. There's not a lot of trust in a lot of folks. There's a lot of things going on. Part of the problem is we don't have the rule of law anymore in this country. We have the rule of law for people like us at the bottom of the rungs. But the people at the top skirt around the rules, and that means you have no rule of law, because a proper rule of law means the same rules apply to everybody the same way. Doesn't matter who you are, how much money you have, or anything else. So America has turned their back on our Heavenly Father Yahweh. America's turned their back on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the Declaration of Independence. We've turned our back on our ancestors and the warnings they gave us. And we've allowed the charlatans to come in and convince us that slick-tongued politicians and lawyers can make new law and basically write themselves a get-out-of-jail-free card while the rest of us are punished even sometimes for make-believe crimes just so that they can keep the status quo or commit murder against us and nobody pays for it. It's pretty sick, I'll tell you. It's pretty sick. What do... as far as the timeline we're on, Magnum, do you have any feel for what's right around the corner and what it's going to look like between now and the end of October?
Wow, that's a loaded question. There's so much at play. There's so many balls up in the air right now. It's hard to know which one's going to land. A lot of politics, a lot of subversion going on. There's a lot of hope that the folks that need to be rounded up what's the gentleman that I'm forgetting his name there that putting out a lot of direction of what's going on right now. You follow him quite a bit. What's his name? Out on the net.
X-22? SGT report?
Yeah, those. So there's a lot up at play right now. So it's anybody's game right now. You know, I kind of stay a little bit more close to the earth, trying to help men understand what they're going through, because if we haven't got a solid base of strong men, we're not going to have a strong army. So that's where I kind of sit, and that's where I kind of keep my focus on. I know you're watching a lot of things. You're getting a lot of things from your folks from all over the world telling you what's at play. So, yeah, it's anybody's game right now.
Yeah, I agree. I just saw some posting here about 90% silver and 9999 pure silver. I think what Lane is talking about is the coins, what they call the junk silver coins. And the junk silver coins prior to 1960, whatever, the junk silver coins had 90% silver. They were 90% silver. After that, they went down to, I believe, either less than 10% or whatever. I can't remember now, but almost no silver in the coins after that period. So junk silver is 90% silver. What Jimmy's putting up there is the purity of the rounds, okay, because the rounds are not actually coins. They're just rounds of pure silver, and I think they're stamped 99.99% pure. So those are pure silver versus the coins. The coins had to have a 10% mix of alloys because they were going to be used in public as coins, and that's the difference. So one of them, you're talking about a pure metal in the sense of a bar or what they call a round, and that's just pure silver. It's not meant to be a coin, whereas the coins that were minted, in fact, all the coins, the dimes, the nickels, quarters, etc., prior to 1965, were 90% silver. And today, I don't even know if there's any silver in them at all. So, you know, they've debased everything, basically. You think about these enemies that have crept in amongst us. The preachers have been silent. The watchdog agencies were bought and paid for. Everybody's been bought off and are liars and not pointing out who the real criminals are. And I like, in fact, I think Lane is one of the guys that jumps on me all the time about articles I send her out when he says, that's funny, I didn't hear the word Jew mentioned. They call them the cabal, the deep state, the Zionists, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. I mean, they got probably 30 different names, but they won't use the name they go by, which is Jews. But the world is waking up. They're figuring it out. We don't have to always lead them to that conclusion. There's been enough exposure of what these Talmudists have been up to that many people are starting to come to those conclusions without actually having been beat on the head as to who's who in the zoo. So, and then, of course, this message, the identity message, as far as the Bible's concerned, that's the whole purpose of identity, is to point out who's who in the zoo, because if you don't know, then the scriptures make absolutely no sense. It's no wonder that so many young people have walked away from the churches and the Bible, because the Bible, if you don't have somebody explain all that to you, the Bible is almost like a comic book. So it doesn't make sense. And by the way, I want to put a plug in for Pastor Larry Blanchard and his seven-book series on your biblical heritage. In fact, the website is yourbiblicalheritage.com. He's got a seven-book series that'll teach you step-by-step who's who in the zoo and the basics of this message and your true biblical heritage. I'm on book number two already, and it's beautiful. He's done a beautiful job with lots of good color photos and maps and whose names got changed to who and where the tribes went and what they became known as. Even after all these years, I found a few things in there that I had never heard before. So it's an excellent place for somebody new that wants to get up to speed of what identity is all about. There's a great way of doing it. And you're supporting a great ministry. Larry Blanchard has been a good friend and an outspoken proponent of truth in the ministry for many years. And he's another one like Pastor Greg Howard up in New York that was an ordained preacher, I believe, in the Baptist church before he had his eyes opened and came to know the whole truth. And then he walked away from it. Both men did. So they're always the favorite guys I have to interview because they were in organized, quote, religion, and they can testify to the things that went on there, much like these priests and preachers, or the priests in the Roman Catholic Church. I've interviewed two or three of them over the years that turned their backs on the priesthood and now were teaching identity, but they told a lot of truths about what goes on in the seminaries and in the Catholic Church, and it wasn't pretty even back then. So,
hey, Dan, to that end, you've seen that there have been several stories over the course of the weeks where children have brought their Bibles to school and chose to read them in their independent study times, and they were admonished. Well, now, I believe it's October 24th, but I need to go look it up. But for those listening, it is a national send your child to school with a Bible day. And
wow.
I will personally, it lets you and I get the right date, Dan, and I will say on air, I will personally send any parents Bibles at my cost. I'll ship it to you. If you don't have a Bible, which if you don't, you need one anyway. But we need to get the kids to take their Bibles to school, and we don't want it to be just where they took their Bible to school. They need to. They have time. Maybe the parents can, you know, give them the overview on some of the relevant scriptures, or actually the book of Revelation would be my vote right now, and then back it up with others. But we need to get our kids armed with Bibles, and I'll put on air here, Dan, you can coordinate it, but any family that needs a Bible that can't afford it to send to school with their child, they need to contact myself or Dan, if you're willing, have them contact you, and we will get them Bibles to support this cause. And Dan, I'll email you that. I know it's coming. I want to think it's October 24th, but I can't be sure.
No. Okay. Very good, buddy. Thank you. Yeah, and Yahweh bless your heart for that. We do need to remember that we're supposed to be the church militant. We were never supposed to acquiesce and sit on our ass while the enemy takes over our country and our institutions and schools, etc. That's totally ridiculous. And that's a whole other program we could talk about, the whole school situation. It's ridiculous there. I personally homeschooled my second set of three children because I was fed up with the public school system. Homeschooling is an option. It's not as difficult as you think. And if more, the more people doing it, the less difficult it gets. So the learning ability of my children under the homeschooling program was 10 times, maybe even more than 10 times better than the public school system. I could not believe how fast and how much they were learning under the tutorage of the homeschooling system or the Christian academies. There was a short period of time where my oldest son was going to Christian academies, and the same results were there. Small schools, much more contact between teacher and student, but they were expected to perform and to learn and to behave themselves, and the amount of material those young people could memorize and learn, it was astounding, absolutely astounding. So there are alternatives, just as we talk about health and drugs. Yahweh has given us everything we need here, and we don't need a society, a jural system, a big government, big banks, big anything. We don't need to live our lives as men and women under Yahweh's law. We don't need them. All this centralization is done by the enemies of Christ. I'm telling you that. We don't need large, centralized anything. So, but we're getting close to the end of the program here, buddy, and I think I lost Magnum. He must have had to go. Okay, so we already lost Magnum. Probably had to put his
son to
bed. Well,
quick update, Dan.
Yeah.
The National Bring Your Bible to School Day is approaching. It is October 4th. I put a link in the in your chat room. I encourage people to look into that. There are several folks that are making the same offer as I have. We need to. It is such a message, and so many spokes can be hooked into the hub of that message. It will encourage our kids to. I mean, how many kids, Dan, in your opinion, really know the term the Bible or what even it is? I mean, to me, the Bible is the man's owner's manual. It's mankind's owner's manual. We all have owner's manual for our cars, our big screen TVs, our ham radios, our computers, our help screens for Windows. And the Bible should be number one on the list for any human being walking this planet, in my humble opinion. And October 4th, Thursday, October 4th, is Bring Your Bible to School Day. And it is our job to get the message out, Dan. And I finally opened up another Twitter account, and I'm being nice now so I don't lose it again. But I'm going to be spreading that word. So. Ladies and gentlemen listening, if you have children, we need to participate in this and keep Christianity alive. To me, if I had children, I would probably go to school with them to be sure they were safe and make sure that the message was carried out.
Amen, brother. Okay, any closing other comments there, Jimmy? Because get ready to shut down the show for tonight.
No, sir, other than, you know, Wednesdays are a little bit tough for me, but by the time that the show gets going, I get that second win. So, once again, Commander Dan, thank you for your gift of time. Thank you for allowing me to participate. Thank you to your audience for joining us, and we need to keep our eyes open. Our peripheral vision open. We need to stay sober, alert. We need to keep our powder dry. And with that, Yahweh bless Dan and all anyone in the sound of our voice, sir. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless, brother. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, if you take a look at the Day of Atonement, what it's all about, which means we're running into the Feast of Tabernacles here shortly. We'll put out some information about that. Feast of Tabernacles, probably the most important feast of the year. It is during the Feast of Tabernacles that Christ came the first time. We believe that it's significant. It may be tied into the second coming or the end time scenarios, but it's an important feast regardless. It's also the feast of the year when all of the men pay the soldiers' ransom. That's when the men capable of going to battle present a token in silver, a shekel, a half shekel of silver, which in today's dollars would be approximately $1. So that's how small it is. Just a half shekel of silver, approximately $1 in value today. So it's not the amount, obviously. It's the thought behind it that the men offer up to our Heavenly Father this token amount and ask for His blessing upon them as soldiers as they go forth to do His will on this earth. It's the men of Yahweh and these soldiers that are not in the field at the moment as to why this world is in such sad, sad shape. It's my prayer that there are men of Yahweh within the intelligence agencies and military of the United States and the other white nations that have been waiting for the right time when we the people would be awoken enough and support their efforts to restore His kingdom and restore His rule on this earth. If that is true, my heart and my prayer goes out to them that they will stand tall. We are here to back them up. We will do whatever is required. If they don't exist, then we stand as the army that will take them all on. And I really don't care about numbers because one with Yahweh is a majority. And for the rest of us men of Yahweh, then we will stand in your way and we will subdue and we will crush this serpent. So help me God, so help me in the name of Yahweh our Father. That's what we're here to do and that's what we will accomplish. And with that, let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, glory, and honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for an opportunity to fellowship with our brothers and sisters on this earth. We thank you for Jimmy and his audience over there in Tampa. We thank you for our audience, of course, and a special blessing to the folks that help us out from time to time. That is so much appreciated. Thank you. We also ask for a blessing upon your children. These are perilous times because there is a famine for the truth. Even amongst the good circles, because so much role-playing and optics and deception is being used, it leaves the sheep in the dark. So you told us to hang on to you, Father. That's what we're doing. We're grabbing by your hand that you might lead us, since you are the all-powerful, and your love knows no bounds, and you're the only one that we can trust. So we take you by the hand, Father, knowing that you'll lead us and guide us. We ask for forgiveness for our stumblings and fallings and our shortcomings and sometimes the pitiful attempts we make to do things right. We hope you'll overlook our miscomings in that area and just hear our hearts as we reach out to you. And again, pass over and forgive the sins and shortcomings, but give us good discernment and stiff back bones that we can stand tall and stand for righteousness in this sick world. And we ask that you also protect all of your children from our numerous enemies. We ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.